You're listening to Spokespeople.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Zoe.
And this is Sarah.
And we're part of the team that hosts the Spokespeople storytelling events.
This is the podcast of the true stories told live at our monthly storytelling shows in the San Francisco Bay Area.
The story that you're about to hear, told by Maria Stevens, comes from our March show, Starstruck, at the Agape House in San Francisco.
Bam!
Comet!
Stars!
Twinkle, 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 twinkle.
Enjoy!
Depending on who she's talking to, Maria identifies either as a personal trainer, corrective exercise specialist, and blogger on fitness and nutrition, or as a professional, low-budget, technically homeless nomad, forever afflicted by Peter Pan syndrome and stubbornly resistant to becoming a permanent member of the workforce. She's an experienced junkie and will do anything just for this story. Please welcome Maria Stevens.
Starstruck. I did not think of celebrities when I heard that. Maybe because I've been off-grid so long, I have completely been alienated from pop culture. Someone actually described me as extraterrestrial. Just got back from a 19 countries tour, 18 months. You know, pretty tired. I'm gonna try to end this on like a higher note than my story actually is. But yeah, okay, Starstruck. You know these rubber stamps that you like find in offices, ink pad? Boom. So that's what I thought about. I thought Starstruck, the cosmos, bam, right into my skull. And the first time I really felt that way, I was on acid and I was in Ireland. And I was like, oh my God, the sky. It's like I'm in a fishbowl. And there's, you know, the just being that far north, it makes the sky curve around you. And then the second time I got slammed by that ink pad of a cosmos. I was also on drugs, this time MDMA. And the greatest love of my life, the greatest, most poetic love of my life was with me. Her name is Alexis. And we're all high in the cuddle puddle. And she looks at me and she's like, positive flooding, positive and flooding, compliments, compliments, finish with, I am so, so, so in love with you. Bam! I've been waiting to hear that for 7 years. When I first met her, I wasn't even sure if I knew I loved her. I just needed to be next to her. I needed to like share her aura. I would find excuses to sort of integrate into her class. She was a year below me and I was not really fitting in with my own class. And I never really knew what to say. I just wanted to be next to her. And maybe like if I went to her house on the weekend, we would share a bed, like, you know, totally platonic, but I'd kind of like, I just get like really close and don't touch, but smell her hair. And I don't know, man. I mean, when you feel that way about somebody, usually you suspect in your gut that they're reciprocating these feelings. But Alexis was a really hard read. She's a very private person. She's very austere. She's very scary. And God, I loved it. Like, somebody, like, she just commanded so much respect. She's so tall. She's so present. She's cuttingly funny. You don't want to get on her bad side. She will take the rawest nerve in your body and go boing, 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 and you'll cry forever. But I was, like, really, really into this. All of my exes are crazy somehow, so she's not crazy. She's amazing. Anyway, so like two girls who secretly loved each other from a distance for a very long time and never articulated these feelings, you can imagine the kind of awkward tension and the fighting that would go on. Like, why are you being like this? I can't deal with you right now. What did I do wrong? I never knew. We were fighting back and forth. Sometimes she would cut me out. She'd let me back in. But we never said that we loved each other. And I dated, I mean, man, I loved her when I dated Trish. I loved her when I dated Susan. I loved her when I was sort of sleeping with Melissa. I loved her when I was married to my ex-wife. I had two loves. They didn't touch. But I've always loved her. And I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know how to show it. And I had always had this dream of kissing her. And one year in college, she actually came to my room and had like this moment of insanity and kissed me. It was really cold and it was really awkward. And I was like, why are you being like this? Because you were so mean to me 5 minutes ago. I can't do this. So she went running out of her room, slammed the door, like, over, like, got that out of her system. She doesn't love me anymore. That's what I thought. But years later, post my divorce, post my downward spiral into agonizing depression, post buying my backpack and going to Europe and just going to travel and, like, escape my horrible, sad, depressing, unfulfilling failure of a life. This is what travelers do sometimes. They go running. I'll have you know that I'm very happy now. I was traveling around by myself, and I was alone, and I could only think of one person. I could only think of Alexis. So I was writing her letters. I was in Vienna, like, please come meet me. Like, you just got laid off. Like, you've got no job. Like, it'll be great. We'll have so much fun together. And I sent her a postcard from Prague. I called her from Slovakia. She was like, I saw this number in my phone. It was like 18 digits long. I thought it must be you. And we hadn't talked in like a year. And God, it was amazing. She finally came over and saw me. And more push and pull, more push and pull. And that's when she said, I'm so, 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 so in love with you. Drug-induced, of course. You're in love with everybody on MD. But bam, slammed in the head. So at this point, I'm like, oh my God, I need you. I want you. How do I cross the line? It's been 7 years. How do you cross that line of awkwardness? Well, it takes a lot of wine in a valley in France, the Loire Valley. It's a chateau-studded, beautiful fruit tree, orchardy, fucking French magical alternative universe. Like, and we would like, I mean, we were homeless. We had backpacks and we had a tent and we didn't care about anything. We'd sneak into campsites, take showers, get dirty. And we'd like walk maybe like 15, 20 kilometers a day, put our tent down, go to the next shop, find some like chocolate cookies and a bottle of wine and get wasted in a field every night. And we would read Milan Kundera out loud. This guy. And I'm like, fuck, I'm just, wow, I'm so in love with her. Oh my God, I don't know what to do. And I'm nervous and I'm shaking and I can't look at her in the eye. And I need to do something. I need to kiss her. I don't know. And we get drunk on a riverbank in a little hamlet called Saint-Agnon, which nobody's ever been to. It's this big, no light. And I'm like lying on her stomach and I'm like petting her arm because that's normal. That's what friends do, right? Oh man, I remember the time we were watching The L Word together in college. Laptop on our laps, under the bed, like. Episode would end, neither one of us would move. God, there was so much tension all the time. So eventually I get drunk and we were like, okay, the sun's down, we better go back to the tent and go to sleep. So we go back to the tent, it's really dark in there, and all of a sudden, you know, touching happens, and then hugging happens, and then this weird lesbian version of exfoliation where you just kind of rub on each other, but like through your clothes, you're like, God, I'm so horny. Like, but there's no sex. And we haven't even kissed. We're just grinding. Like, that's not weird. We're still friends, right? Like, at some point, she kind of like comes out of the ether and she's like, oh my God, what have I done? Unzips and runs out. And my heart's like, just dead. I'm like, uh-oh, I've just ruined our trip. Like, she's going to go home. She can't travel with me anymore. That was so awkward. We can never do that. Oh man. And she's like pacing outside in the woods and I'm just like soaking wet because it's August and like I'm in a plastic tent. So, and you know, I just did all that exfoliation. So I just get out of the tent. I'm like, I'm going to go down to the river and I'm going to go jump in and clear my head. I've had a lot of wine. And so I go walking by myself, like the walk of shame. And I hear her behind me. And we don't talk. And I go to the riverbank and I pull off all my clothes and totally naked. Pull off those too. And lo and behold, you know, private Alexis, who doesn't do naked, she gets naked too. And I dive in head first into this river and I hear her dive in. And I'm just like, it's treading water. Like, fuck. God, I'm so drunk. Like, oh man, clear my head. And we're kind of getting carried by a current downstream. And we're starting like swirling around each other, like little tiny eddies. And I'm just like, oh my God, you look so beautiful in the moonlight. If there is not a perfect moment for a kiss, like, I have to fix this situation. And I grab her then and there, and I kiss her. And that's probably my phone, actually. I kissed her right in France, in the Loire Valley, off red wine, under August starlit sky. Bam! I mean, there were so many stars in the sky, and I was just like, carried. I was so high. And we're kissing, and then it gets better, because there's a sandbar. So I end up on the sandbar with this naked, beautiful woman on top of me. And, like, we didn't actually have sex that night. We waited. It was like, you know. But anyway, the most profound, amazing, mind-blowing love of my life. We traveled together for 6 months, homeless and happily in love. We didn't care about anything. We had this little domestic routine in our tent. I was like, had to find the safe space away from the homeless people and the gypsies. And she would like put out the sleeping bags and she'd get the stove going. And I would read Anna Karenina out loud to her. Or if it was my cooking night, she would read it to me. And we came back to the United States and traveled. And then she got really, really sick. And I wanted to end this story like with, you know, some kind of tears and say that I lost her. But she didn't die. She just, she got very sick. And we couldn't make that relationship work. It was one of those loves that need to remain in privacy between two people and not be made and put into the public sphere. So, yeah, that was my starstruck story. I don't even know how to end that one. Thank you.
If you like this story or would like to tell your own story, come to our next show. Go to our website, spokespl.org, for more information. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Podcast audio production by Ian Ratzer at Mercy Park Studios in San Francisco. Podcast coordination by Sarah Bars. This event was hosted by Jean Goldstein Plesser. Event coordination is by Rebecca Stevader, and event photography is by Chris Koster. Music for this production was by First You Get the Sugar.
Thanks for listening.
And hope to see you soon.